Greetings, Lisa Edwards here, CEO of Exclusive Career Coaching and host of the Exclusive Career Coach Podcast. Ready for some great career management content? Then let's dig in. Greetings, happy March, guys. How's it going? It's a Sunday morning and I'm recording now when I normally record on Friday mornings, but Friday morning, when I sat down to record, I kind of live a little bit out in the sticks outside of Tallahassee proper, although my address is still Tallahassee. And there was some tree removal going on and some big trucks, and I could hear sawing and all the things. And I knew from experience that you would hear that as well if I tried to record on Friday morning. So I put this off and now I'm doing it on Sunday. So we're talking today about the difference between job duties and achievements on your resume. And I want to be very clear in saying that this is a topic I have covered on other episodes. And if you want to see the full body of what I've talked about relative to resume writing, you want to go to my website, exclusivecareercoaching.com, click on the podcast tab, and you will see tiles for the various topics that I have covered. I think there's like 15 topics on my website, and then all of the episodes for that topic are contained there. So that's a nice indexed way, if you will, to find what you're looking for. Specifically in episode 174, I covered the difference between job duties and achievements. And when I looked at the content of that episode, there was some really good meaty, juicy stuff in there. So I pulled the good stuff in here for this episode, but I also have expanded on this. So this is not a rerun by any stretch of the imagination. So let's start with what I see from folks on almost every resume that comes my way. It's one of two things. Either there isn't a job achievement in sight, there's nothing to quantify how well they did the job, or they've made a stab at it, but what they've done is they've bulleted everything. They've bulleted job duties, bulleted achievements. The achievements are poorly written. They may not have much punch to them. And the net effect of that is that the achievements get washed out. They're diluted in their effectiveness. And then this ends up creating what we resume writers call death by bullets. It's just all bulleted. I mean, I have literally seen resumes where there is a page full of bullets for that job. And as you can imagine, if you're reading that, a couple of things would happen if you're the reader. Number one, you would be probably overwhelmed by that volume. It would be, you know, off-putting to even get started on that. But secondly, you are exponentially increasing the chances that they will miss what's most important. I think one of the most valuable things that well-trained professional resume writers like myself, and well-trained and professional resume writers, one of the values that we provide is that ability to curate content. I think it's the temptation that I see from clients is that they just think everything should be in there. Nothing should be missing. And that is the case with a CV in the United States. Now, the term CV or curriculum vitae is used in Europe, for example, for any kind of resume-like document. But in the United States, we make a very clear distinction in that CVs are for academic purposes, and they have everything you've ever done, every publication, every presentation. I have, not exaggerating, seen 50-page and more CVs. But your resume should be a curated marketing document. Let me say that again. A curated, carefully curated marketing document. Now, job duties are important, so there is a place for them. We're going to talk about what that place is. And the reason that it's important is that this is a place that you can really pack keywords in specific to the job duties that you have performed as they relate to the job that you're applying for. It also is helpful in the job duty section to be able to say, you know, something that you did that was outside the realm of what, you know, position X normally does, whatever your job title was. If you didn't typically have HR responsibilities with that role, but you did, then you want to include that, assuming that you have some interest in doing that going forward. So the difference is, if I had to take on HR responsibilities in a previous job and I hated it, don't ever want to do it again, I certainly don't want to market that on my resume. Why would I? But if it's something I am open to doing, if I think it might give me a competitive advantage, and or I really liked doing it, then it has a place on there. Job duties tell an employer what you did. These were my job responsibilities day to day. Here's what I did. And there's an assumption out there that job duties are kind of the same for the same job title. And so that's something to keep in mind as you are writing your job description is, how can I differentiate it from everybody else who has XX job title, whatever it is. Now, it's not true. We all know that everybody has different responsibilities, but there is an assumption about the commonalities among, you know, entry-level accountant jobs or director of whatever, or project manager, those kind of things. Achievements, on the other hand, tell the employer how well you perform the job. This is your opportunity to say how much money you saved, how much you improved efficiency, how much you increased retention, whatever is appropriate for your job function. I want you to think of it this way. I'm going to give you an analogy. If you were a Nike athletic shoe, your job description might read as follows. Made of rubber, come in a variety of color combinations, includes shoelaces and an insert, can be spot washed by hand, can be worn for athletic or casual wear by men and women. So that's the functionality of the Nike shoe. But here are the achievements. Shaved 7.8 seconds off Sue Smith's running performance in the mile. Received prime placement in athletic shoe stores, including blah, blah, name them. Played key role in Jonathan Jones' 15th place finish in the Boston Marathon. Generated $1.2 gazillion top line revenue. So you see, those were very specific, very metrics driven. And I promise, regardless of what field you are in, there are metrics. The metrics may not be dollars. They may be time. They may be reaching milestones and having a 100% score on something. But there are metrics. There are always metrics. So let's break down next the differences between job duties and achievements. So job descriptions. This should be a 2-3 line. Hear me say that. 2-3 line paragraph. This is not bulleted. Paragraph. Of your daily duties that you performed. And as I alluded earlier, it can be, here are the job duties I performed most frequently. Could be, here are ones that are unusual for my position and ones that I want to do carrying forward. And it can also be those that are most applicable. So maybe there was a job duty that took up really a very small amount of time in your previous job, but it's what you want to focus your job search on going forward. You want to definitely include anything that relates to the job that you're applying for. So there's no room in this 2-3 line paragraph for fluffy words, extra verbiage. I don't like things like showed initiative by blah, blah, blah. There's no room for that. Stick with the most important, most relevant, and or most differentiating tasks in that paragraph. And again, cut, 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 edit, 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 so that there is no excess verbiage or fluffiness in there. Here's an example. And both of these come within, you know, the 3 lines or so. Here's one. Aligned marketing plans in GTM, which is go-to-market tactics, to drive audience awareness and growth for a $12 million international entertainment product. Drove branding, design, website, video production, customer journey, social media, billboards, subway ads, taxi tops, paid ads, customer experience improvements, celebrity and influencer partnerships, and content creation. So think about that. So we've set the stage by talking about this is a marketing person who has worked for a $12 million international product. So that's a pretty big deal, and we've set the stage with that. But then I chose to list all of the kinds of work that they did around that marketing, all the scope of it, because it was so broad. And who knows, you know, he may be applying for a company that wants somebody who's done taxi tops. I don't know. But if for no other reason, it gives a sense of the breadth that this person worked on in terms of marketing. Here's another example. Drove all management and operational components, including reporting functions, scheduling, hiring, onboarding, training, policies, procedures, compliance, and strategic planning. Collaborated with marketing director to promote and grow all offices. Managed P&L, including net profitability, net revenue per visit, and net cost per visit. So again, packed full of specifics in terms of the kind of work that he's done, but no fluff, none at all. And again, notice those are paragraphs, not bulleted achievements. The bullets are for the achievements only. So let's talk about achievements. Ideally, you want to have progressively more achievements as your jobs are more recent. So when I'm writing someone's resume, I may have only a single achievement for their oldest job, right? So I typically go back on the resume about 20 years. I go a little bit longer than the 10 to 15 that some people do, and it's very situational. But the reason is I want more of that trajectory to show. And for most of my clients that I'm working with, 10, 20 years or so, they're still in significant jobs. They weren't, you know, I'm not going to include 20 years ago if that was an internship or an entry-level job, but for many of them, they were already in managerial or director-level roles at that point. So I want to start with maybe back then, you know, 20 years ago, one achievement bullet, and I want to build and build until hopefully the most recent job takes up the most real estate. That can be affected by the length of time. So if you two jobs ago kept that job for 20 years and you've only been in your most recent job for 2 years, you see the problem. It's going to be difficult. And it would probably seem odd to an employer if you had more achievements for the 2 year job than you had for the 20. So there is some variability there. But in general, I do like to build that, what I think of as an inverted pyramid as we go up to more recent jobs with your resume. So what makes an achievement impactful? First of all, it is specific. It doesn't speak in vague terms. It gives specificity. It starts with an action verb. So you want to be able to go down that left side of your resume and see drove, multiplied, increased, developed, whatever the words are that are appropriate for your function. Also, it leads with results. So you're going to see that with my examples. Don't tell me you did blah, 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 and then and as a result, increased revenue 400%. That's called burying the lead. Start with that. Increased revenue by 400% and then talk about some of the ways in which you did that. And then finally, you want to leave the reader wanting more. I try never to have achievement bullets that are more than 2 lines long. Sometimes they go to 3 lines, but most of the time, 1 or 2 lines is sufficient because I'm not trying to tell them everything about that achievement. What I hope I'm doing is wetting the whistle that they will want to ask me more about that achievement bullet in the interview. They'll want to interview me and they'll want to know more. So here's an example. So if you had as an achievement bullet, grew customer base, that's not really an achievement bullet. There's nothing specific. There's nothing results oriented in there. It's almost more of a job duty, right? Kind of you were hired to grow the customer base, right? And that's, so that makes that a job duty. But if we write it this way, catapulted customer base 400% and revenue 700% by launching a comprehensive social media campaign. And this is, these examples are all from clients of mine. Notice a couple of things there. I started with the results. Catapulted customer base 400% and revenue 700%. And then I said, by launching a comprehensive social media campaign. Started with an action verb, catapulted, which is a great one. It had results that 400 and 700%, and it left them wanting more. So, you know, you might get an interview question about, well, tell me about this comprehensive social media campaign. I might ask, why do you think it was so successful? I might ask, if you could do that campaign again, what would you do differently? So I haven't told them everything, but I have given them enough to interest them. Here's another example. If I said manage new hire in processing is an achievement bullet, again, that's a job duty. It's what you were hired to do. There's no specificity. There's no metrics there. But instead, I write it this way. Processed 140 new employees in just 30 days, including all paperwork, orientation, security clearances, and computer access. So now I've talked about this period of 30 days when clearly something was going on that we had to hire a whole bunch of people. So I led with their results, 140 new employees in 30 days, and I gave them a flavor of the scope of the work that I had to do. So I might get a question in the interview about, why did you have to hire so many people in such a short period of time? And I might want to ask some questions about, how did you market this position to get that many candidates? And, you know, those kind of things. But I've got something, as the reader, I've got something there that interests me that I can ask further questions on. And here's one more example. Instead of saying managed IT installation project, now that would be an achievement. It would be a weak achievement because it is a point in time you managed an IT installation project. Now, if you had said manage IT installation projects, that's a job duty. I am hired to manage any installation, IT installations. But now I've said I managed a specific one, but let's make it better than managed IT installation project. Here we go. Spearheaded 1,200 unit IT installation project, including beta testing, identifying and training super users, and troubleshooting. So we started with the results, spearheaded 1,200 unit IT installation project. We got a nice strong action verb in there, spearheaded. And then again, a little bit of flavor, beta testing, identifying and training super users, and troubleshooting. Now, how do you know what to include in an achievement? Here are some guidelines. Choose achievements that, in combination, present you as well-rounded and competent for the role you're applying for. So think about it in a forward-facing manner. What am I applying for? What is my job target? What are the skill sets? What are my strengths? What is my brand? You know, I've said it before on this podcast many times, but that's a big piece of the work that I do with my resume clients, is figuring out their personal brand. So we identify 3 to 5 really strong aspects of their brand, and we look for examples of where they demonstrated that skill, that quality, whatever it is, in achievements in their resume. So if we've decided that you, as an operations person, that one of your key strengths is your ability to find efficiencies, to look for opportunities that save time, money, you know, employee wear and tear, whatever it may be, then we want an achievement bullet around that. And then maybe there's another aspect of your strengths, your brand. So we want to look at this in its totality, right? It doesn't do us any good to have 5 achievement bullets that kind of point to the same skill. We want a variety. We want to make you more well-rounded than that. Next, focus on achievements that demonstrate the skills you want to use moving forward. So, for example, if you're really good at managing budgets, but you hate it, every second of it, it's horrible, and it's not critical to your job, I would like to hope that if budgeting was a critical element, like a huge piece of your job and you hated it, you weren't doing it. But let's say it is some minor thing, maybe you helped with some budgets along the way. You're really good at it. You're good at math, whatever it is, but you just, it's what's called a burnout skill. Then don't focus on that achievement, right? If it's not a requirement for the job going forward and it's not something that you enjoy doing, don't mention it or minimize it. 2 more things. With some clients, I will separate out a 1 to 2 line statement about the scope of their work. So if you think about how a resume is laid out. So first we have company name, job title, dates, you know, location, all that stuff. And then I will have this line. I typically will center it right underneath that information before I get into the job duty paragraph. And it's about the scope of the work. So this is typically folks who are at a director or above level. They have managerial responsibilities, they have P&L. And so this is a great way to highlight that. And this makes it easier for the reader to find that out. Recruiters particularly tend to like this kind of a section because it really helps them to understand the context of this job, of each of their jobs, to see if this is in alignment with the job that they're hiring for. Is this a logical next step for this person based on the scope of responsibility that they've had thus far? So here's an example. Directly supervised 5, total team of 14. And then I do a pipe. If you know what that is, it's the vertical line. Pipe. Hired, developed, and managed marketers, vendors, and agencies. Pipe, 3.8 million marketing budget. So again, scope, who did he manage? They also had some vendors and some contractors. So we give all of that scope. And then the final point is, increasingly, I am using a word or two at the beginning of each of my clients' bullets that allow the resume reader to quickly scan down that left side and see kind of the buckets of accomplishments that this individual has had. And those also serve to further pack the resume with keywords. So what am I talking about here? I'm going to look at two things. What I'm going to read the job bullet and see, okay, what is this about? What are we doing here? And then I'm going to look at the job descriptions that I have the client send me. I have them send me three. What are the key competencies that they're looking for in that job description? Can I translate some of those into these introductory sentences? So let me give you an example, because this one's a little bit trickier, I think. So here's one. So the introductory statement is stakeholder advocacy and education. And then the bullet goes on to read, developed and managed regional advocate program, which delivered grassroots, legislative, political, and investor development support and resources to Florida Chamber, local chambers of commerce, legislators, candidates, and business advocacy partners across six regions of Florida. Yes, that's a long sentence, but you can get away with that on resumes more so than, you know, in normal writing. But we have that stakeholder advocacy and education. Here's another one. The introductory is efficiency enhancements. And then we go on. Achieved annual cost reduction of 30%, enhanced financial reporting processes, and increased productivity through strategic technology implementations, including dashboarding and cloud solutions. And then finally, Latinx community leadership is the introductory phrase, and then I do a colon. And by the way, usually I'll bold and italicize the introductory statement. So we've got Latinx community leadership, followed by recognized with Hispanic Heritage Foundation Award for courage and commitment to elevating Latinx culture and all its expressions. So I hope that this episode has given you some new tools if you are choosing to do your resume for yourself. If you would like to schedule a consult with me because you are recognizing that this is not the best use of your zone of genius and you would like to spend your time doing those other things that are, and you would like an expert who is one of fewer than 25 master resume writers in the world to write that document for you, as well as maybe your LinkedIn profile, then I encourage you to check out the link in the show notes to schedule a consult. And to be clear, my consults are for those folks who are wanting to discuss working with me. It is not a free coaching session. I say that with love. You are getting tons of free content from me from these weekly podcasts. You are welcome to go to my website, and I have, I don't know, five or six free resources on there, maybe more now, that you can, if you click on the tab, free resources, grab some of that stuff. You've got to, if you are on my mailing list, you get a weekly newsletter and a link to the weekly podcast. So there's so much free stuff out there. But if you want my help in a one-on-one capacity, then check that link out. And I hope this has been helpful. I will see you next week. Take care. Greetings, Lisa Edwards here, CEO of Exclusive Career Coaching and host of the Exclusive Career Coach podcast. Ready for some great career management content? Then let's dig in.